you know, for their life. And so that's called threshing in hope. And I believe in that tonight for myself. Amen. And so go with me to Psalm 127, 1. And I'm going to share with you, you know, this is a very big and broad topic. And so there's a lot that could be said, but I'm just going to minister to you what the Holy Ghost puts on my heart. Amen. So I studied today, but also spent most of my time praying. And so I just trust that the Holy Ghost is going to highlight to us what this congregation in this hour needs to hear. Amen. Actually, why don't you go first? I want to share this with you. Why don't you go first over to Philippians chapter 3, but hold your finger there because we're going to go back to Psalms. Philippians chapter 3. You know, because some things we've heard, and especially if you've been a Christian for a while, you know, we don't have any new material. You know, the Bible is the same every day. And so while you can get greater revelation, there's nothing new to preach. So you're going to hear a message on tithing. You're going to hear a message on prayer. You'll hear a message on marriage and all those things. But eventually, if you're in the church long enough, it's going to circle back around and you're start hearing messages again that you've already heard. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe." And so you may have heard this same thing five times, and I can tell you, you needed a sixth, right? Because how does faith come? By hearing and hearing. So we have to repeatedly hear the same things in order for faith to be built in our heart. And so we don't just come and say, "Well, I've heard that before." The Lord is telling us this in this hour because he's trying to keep us safe. That's what he said in Philippians. You need this again for your safety. Amen. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Ghost tries to guard your stuff? And how does he do it? Get the word over to you that you can do. Amen. You know, when you get born again, you don't just, "Well, Lord, okay, take care of all my stuff. Guard my marriage, guard my family, guard my job, guard my checkbook." No, what he does is he tells us the word that we do, and he helps us to guard it. Amen. So he's keeping us safe tonight. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. And we're never offended at the word. Amen. We always rejoice over the word. We're excited to hear it again and again. You know, some things are hard to hear, but we need it. Amen. And so, listen, I want you to know one of the number one ways that the enemy will have an entrance into your life is through offense. He'll try to get you offended with your spouse. He'll try to get you offended with your boss, with your family members, with the school where your kids go, with your pastor, with your local church, with people in the church, with the nursery workers, with all kinds of people. And what he needs is just a foot in the door. That's all he needs. And then he's got an entrance into your life. And many times that comes through offense. So if you'll do the word you hear tonight, it'll keep you safe from doing that. Because offense is a choice. Amen. You have to guard you don't take offense. You know, how many of us have probably already had 50 times today where we've been tempted to be offended over something? You know, somebody didn't say something a certain way. Somebody didn't prefer you. You know, somebody said something kind of snotty. Maybe they insulted you, whatever. You've had opportunities already today that you could be offended. And all you have to do is refuse that. Amen. You know, there are job opportunities, but if you don't take it, then guess what? You don't have the job. You just refuse it. You turn it down, right? And then you never end up with going to that place to work and operate in that job. And so the same thing is true with offense, that it comes, opportunities come, and there's nothing wrong with that. You haven't done anything wrong having opportunities to walk in love and to be offended. But when you step into the offense is when we've made a misstep. And so there will come opportunities every single day for you to walk in love and to not be offended. And all you have to do is say, "I refuse to be offended. I refuse to be offended." And see, that's the ploy of the enemy, is that he always wants it to, you know, he tries to get into your emotions, to try and get you worked up in your emotions, and lets you think that people are your problem, when really he's the problem. You know, did you ever see The Wizard of Oz when you were a kid? You know, and they finally get to The Wizard of Oz, and it's just this little old man behind this big curtain. And, you know, he's got this big booming voice, you know, behind there. But when Toto or he pulled the curtain back. You know, it's just this little old man pushing buttons, pulling levers. You know, he's nothing. He's nothing to be afraid of. And so that's how it is with the enemy. There's nothing to fear. And, you know, all he has is a loud voice. That's it. But really, he's nothing. So if you refuse to be offended, you'll live blessed and keep the door closed. Amen. We have to guard over that. One other thing that I wanted to share with you is that you need to guard how you go to sleep. You need to guard how you go to sleep at night. You know, before I knew better, you know, I would have disagreements with Tim and go to sleep. You know, we'd have arguments and then I'd go to sleep. And, you know, when you're not living for the Lord, some of those things get kind of heated, you know. And so anyways, it's dangerous to do that. It's dangerous to have a disagreement with your spouse and go to bed angry. That's an open door for the enemy to get in. Now, I'm still talking about prospering from the inside out, but the Holy Ghost had me to share this with you, that if you don't go to bed right, certain things will enter in. And so we want to make sure that we go to bed in peace, we go to bed with the Word, and we don't go to bed until something that's not right is resolved. Something that's not right is resolved. So if you had a disagreement with someone, you know, maybe you've had an argument, maybe you had times of intense fellowship. That's, you know, Christian talk for fight, because it's not real proper to say fight. But if you had times of intense fellowship, you need to make that right. And the longer you have that door open, the more dangerous it is. You know, spouses have disagreements, and one takes off in the car and doesn't come back for half a day, or, you know, leaves the other one wondering where they're at and that sort of thing. That's a danger. That's a danger. And I don't care what they said. I don't care what they did. You just stay there. You work it out. If you have to, one of you go to the bathroom for a couple minutes and, you know, have close up in your bedroom or something like that if you need some a few minutes of separation. But you need to shut that door as soon as possible, that you're not allowing that strife, that discord, that fight to continue. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, we had this house that was next to us, and the people had moved out, and it sat empty for a while. And the longer it sat empty, we noticed that all of a sudden there's more raccoons coming, and, you know, then there's some possums coming, and, you know, all kind of wildlife figured out that this is empty, you know. And so all these things started coming around this house because they know no one's living there to guard it. And they started setting up shop over there. You know, realtors know you want someone living in the house when you're going to show it. It's better to try and sell a house someone living in it. Why? Because certain things are just kept out. You know, and so what happens is, you know, those little varmints, they found ways in. You know, the door wasn't pushed tight, or someone had come through to see it and they didn't lock it how they should or whatever. And so if you have any little place where something can get in, it's a danger and it causes destruction. And so guard that. And I'm not saying we go over our life with a fine-tooth comb, but I'm just saying to you that the Holy Ghost is highlighting to us tonight that we need to guard how we go to sleep, that we go to sleep in peace. I like to fall asleep praying, you know, or with my Bible. A lot of times Tim will come in and I'm, you know, falling asleep reading my Bible. You know, and I always have Brother Hagin's healing scriptures on repeat on my iPad. I listen to that all night long. My spirit grows while I'm sleeping. Because listen, there are many voices in the world, and your spirit is always developing or being diminished. And so we have to guard that when you're in your car, when you're on your way to work, even if it's just 5 minutes, you have time to pray. Amen. And so I guard how I go to sleep. Don't let those times of intense fellowship carry over into hours and into half days and into days. And then it's, you know, when you finally get home at night, you know, that you make up. And let me tell you this too. Kids many times see adults fight in front of them. And that brings insecurity to a child. And but what happens is a lot of times the parents make up in the evening when the children have already gone to bed. And so in the mind of the child, that argument is still going. And that stability is still in their mind. Are mom and dad gonna stay together? You know, what's gonna happen now? You know, sort of dreading that. And so if you you know, walked out of love, if you open the door, you had a disagreement with your spouse in front of your children, make up with your spouse in front of your children. And you tell them, mommy loves daddy. Daddy loves mommy. We're staying together. We're a family. Mommy and daddy didn't act right. You know, sometimes you have to repent to your kids, but sometimes you have to repent in front of your kids. You know, because we don't always do it right. You know, there have been times where I went to my kids. You know, most times it's before you go somewhere. Have you ever noticed that? Before you're ready to leave the house, it's like all hell breaks loose or something. I don't know. You're like, nobody can find two shoes that match. Nobody can find two socks that match. It's like the car is on E. You know, everything's going awry. And so, but what happens is, a lot of times there are certain, you know, points, at least in each family, you kind of know what that is. For us, it's when you're ready to leave somewhere, but where you can be tempted to walk out of love. Now, I like to be on time. Actually, I like to be early. And so our best days are when Tim and I drive somewhere separate, because we have different ideas of that. So when we have to drive somewhere, like to Fredonia meetings or something like that, usually I ask him if I can ride alone. And then he says no. And then when I have to ride together with him, it stretches my love walk, because his idea of leaving on time and my idea of leaving on time are way, way different. Way different. Not even close to the same. Not at all. And so, anyways, during those times, you know, if you walk out of love, you sometimes even need to apologize to your kids. Honey, mommy is sorry. I talked rough to you. I didn't talk in a loving tone. I wasn't nice. What I said wasn't nice. I apologize. Please forgive mommy. And, you know, a lot of times you think, well, I'm the parent. I shouldn't have to do that. You're modeling to them what they need to do. Because then, you know, when they beat each other up and you want one to apologize to the other, and see, they need to see how that is done. And they need to see that adults do it too. You know, because kids get this idea that once you're an adult, you do whatever you want. Did your kids ever tell you that? Or kids in general ever tell you that? They just think you get to be an adult and then you do what you want. My kids have said that to me before. And I said, honey, you don't ever get to do what you want. Unless what you do is what the Lord wants and you like doing that. You know, but I said, listen, I am accountable to daddy because he's my husband. I'm accountable to daddy because he's my pastor. I'm accountable to Pastor Michael because he's my spiritual father, and I'm accountable to the Lord. So I got all these people I'm accountable to. And I said, for the rest of your life, you don't do what you want. You do what pleases God. And there's never coming a point where it's just a free-for-all in life. You just do whatever you want. You don't do whatever you want. You know, even I don't ask my kids, what do you want to do when you get older? I don't care what they want to do when they get older. They're going to do what the Holy Ghost says when they get older. And listen, I'm not pushing anything on them. I'm not forcing anything on them. I'm not telling them they have to be a preacher. I'm not telling them they have to be in the ministry. But they do have to do what the Lord wants. And so I don't ask them, what's your dream? Because that doesn't matter to me. What does God have for them? And I'm praying that out now, because that takes time, those things. So I pray for my kids even now. And actually, in the last couple months, I've had it on my heart to pray for them more and more concerning that, what the will of the Lord is for them, what the plan of the Lord is for them as they get older. You know, because you don't just come into that automatically. You know, you don't, it'll just fall on you. No, you need to have parents who help pray that out for you. So I don't ever ask my kids, what's your dream? What do you want to do? As a matter of fact, you know, my kids in the last year, they've started to like baseball. We took them last summer to some games in Erie, and, you know, they just have a natural liking toward that sport. And Tim already told him, he said, honey, you can play baseball. We'll go to the games and all that. But listen, even if you were the best player there is and you were going to go pro, you're still not going to go pro. Because those people miss weekends. They're not in church every weekend. They're not serving God. They don't have local churches that they're in all the time in the midweek service. And you need that. You need that more than you need that paycheck. And so you can enjoy something, but listen, it's not going to be your life. It's not going to be your life. Amen. So go with me to Psalm 127. Amen. We're still talking about prospering from the inside out. Amen. Because listen, we have to get bigger on the inside before all this stuff out here gets bigger. You know, I noticed that as I developed my spirit, my natural stuff developed along with me. I don't know if you've noticed that. And it doesn't happen overnight. But as you grow yourself in the Word, as you're faithful to Him, as you feed your faith, as you use your faith, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, and you exercise your faith, and you, you know, pray for other people and pray for your church, and you're faithful here, as you do that, your stuff will grow with you. It just happens. Because God's not going to put something big in you and it not overflow into your natural stuff. Because the natural stuff is the least. That's the least. Amen. So Psalm 127. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And so what I wanted to share with you was that the things that we do in our spirit, with our spirit on the inside, those are the things that build the foundation for our life. You know, I'm not saying that a nice house isn't important. I enjoy a nice house. I enjoy a nice car and nice clothes and all of those things. But listen, all that stuff comes along when you prosper on the inside. And so those are not the things I'm after in life, although I'll have them. But what I'm after is developing the inside. You know, have you ever driven on Route 60 or you've been traveling somewhere and you see along on the side of the road where, you know, there's a barn and it's caving in on itself, you know, or maybe the sides are falling out or the roof is caving in or something. And you know, this barn does not just need a paint job. You know, a couple shingles replaced is not going to fix this. It has structural damage. It has foundation issues. And so we can come to church and do a few churchy things. You know, maybe we tithe once in a while. You know, maybe we started dressing a little bit more appropriate. Maybe we don't swear as much. But that's like going out to that barn and putting on a, you know, can of paint and thinking that you're fixing it up. It just looks a little better, but it's still broken. And so what we want to do is fix the foundation. We want to fix the structural issues. And we do that by growing our spirit. And I'm going to share with you, here's the first thing that we can do to grow our spirit. Stop being a victim. Stop being a victim. Psalm 78. Listen, if you're in this world, trials come, tests come, difficulties come. We could probably, everyone in this world, in this congregation, name something not so fun that happened to all of us or it took place in our lives. You know, so it's not an uncommon thing. There, you know, bad things happen sometimes when you're in a fallen world and those things come and go. But the problem is when we live in that, when we live in that. And that's called being a victim. So Psalm 78, go to verse 37. And do you remember when the Lord brought all the Israelites out of Egypt? And they were in slavery, and he brought them through the wilderness. You know, he performed miracles to get them out. He fed them. He kept them safe. You know, he gave them manna from heaven. He gave them quails from heaven. He gave them water out of rocks. You know, he did just miraculous things for them and parting the Red Sea and all of that. And then we'll see, this is the part that it's talking about in the scripture, where he said, even after all that, they turned back. Amen. Okay, so let's start here in verse 37. So, for their hearts were not right with him, speaking of the Israelites, and neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. And many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. For he remembered that they were of flesh, a wind that passed away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? And yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, and how he wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. And so in verse 41, it says that they turned back and tempted God. And so many Christians have done that. You know, because when you first come in and you get born again, you know, and you hear the word and you do the word, and you're just going to have relief of your problem. You're going to have relief of your problem or whatever it is that you were facing. And the problem is when that is gone and the pressure has lifted and that issue is resolved, sometimes people settle in. and they do what God's people did here, and they turn back. They turn back. Now, listen, you couldn't turn back if you weren't, at first making progress. You know, the other day we were on our way to school, and Timothy said, "Mom, I forgot something," and we had to turn back. Well, you can't turn back around if you weren't already going a certain direction, if we hadn't already left for school. And so these people, we know, they had started to head in God's direction, and then they made a turn and went the opposite way. And so we want to make sure as Christians we don't do that. And staying a victim, you'll do that. You'll do that. If you want to hold on to it, if you want to hold on to that hurt, if you want to hold on to that injustice, if you want to hold on to that trial, if you want to hold on to that offense, you'll never make progress with God. It will stall your progress with Him. And it won't allow your spirit to develop how it should. Have you ever heard about the washing of the water of the Word? Amen. And, you know, when that has settled into your mind, that hurt, that offense, that wrongdoing, whether it was something you did to someone or someone did to you, what you need to do is wash that out with the Word. Amen. And also, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, why don't you go with me to 1 Corinthians 14:4? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, that helps as well. Because you don't want to live the rest of your life being a victim. Amen. You want to be free from that thing. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Could you go there in the Amplified? So we can fill up on the Word. But also 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. But he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church and promotes the church. Okay, so he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. Amen. So if you want to improve yourself, you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you want to improve yourself, now listen, stop trying to improve your spouse. Do you know what Pastor Michael says that is? He said that's like having dental work with no Novocaine. That's not pleasant for anybody. No, nobody's blessed by that. And so, you know, there's a great temptation because with your spouse, they're the person you're most familiar with, the person that you know their faults the most, you know their weaknesses the most, you know the things that they do that they shouldn't do and all that kind of stuff. And so there's temptation that I'm going to fix them. And let me tell you, the Word says edify yourself. Fix yourself. Amen. And I don't mean without the help of God. You know what I mean by praying in the Holy Ghost, being in the Word. And so if you try and fix your spouse, I will prophesy right now, it will not work 100 times out of 100. Pastor Katie prophesied at 7:05 on 5/4/16, if you try and fix your spouse 100 times out of 100, it will not work. Yes, it will not work. And I know that because I've tried. And you know how sometimes, like, you just give it a whirl for old time's sake? Like, it might work. It might work. I'll give this thing a try. The old college try. And so, but listen, up till late, it still don't work. I'm just telling you. And it's not pleasant. Because the one trying to do the fixing is frustrating. You know, they're frustrated. And the one being fixed feels like you have their life under a microscope. Right? Like they can do no right. And no one wants to live like that. Do you want someone always tallying up how you're doing? No, you don't. And so if you'll wash those things out with the Word, improve yourself by praying in the Holy Ghost, listen, you'll be a blessing to your spouse. You'll be a blessing to your spouse. Amen. And so I'm not trying to fix anybody. I'm just working on me. Amen. You know, Pastor Michael always says, the harder you are on yourself, the better life will be for you. The harder you are on yourself, the better life will be for you. Because listen, it's the things that we let go that are undoing in life. You know, pay close attention what you do with your mind and your body. You know, Brother Hagin used to talk about how when he would go into different churches, he would take polls. You know, like he would talk about how when people would come up to the end of the front, you know, and they would be up there to be prayed for. And he said 8 times out of 10, when I asked people, what are you up here praying for? They would say, I don't know. You know, so it's good to take polls about things. And so he would notice certain habits and patterns and stuff as he was traveling. But what about for yourself? What if you just took notice over the next week what it is that you do with your mind and your body? Amen. And I want you to know that the measure in which you keep your body under is the measure in which you keep the devil under. So if you want to have dominion over him and be good in putting your foot to his neck, then what you need to do is be good to putting your foot to your flesh. And you can sort of gauge where you're at with that by trying to quit the thing that you really enjoy. Have you ever done that? So I used to drink coffee all the time. I mean, I got up in the morning, I drank coffee all day long, I drank it till I went to bed at night. I didn't care if I had a stomach ache, I didn't care if I didn't even want it. I was drinking coffee because I just drank coffee. That's what we did in my family. You started drinking coffee when you were just little, you know? And so always drank coffee. And then I wasn't permitted to do it anymore. And, you know, when you first try and stop, your body is not in agreement. You know, and if you drink a lot of coffee or you drink it often, your body has symptoms of withdrawal because of the caffeine, right? And so you might shake a little, you might be irritable, you know, you might not feel too good, you might have a withdrawal headache, you know, even insomnia, that kind of stuff. I'm not saying it will happen, I'm just saying it could. And when those things happen, do you run back to it? Because who's in charge here? Is your body in charge or your spirit? And I'm not saying it has to be coffee. You know, it could be any number of things. What, you know, some people really like chocolate. They really like sugar. That's their thing. They have to have sugar every day. So that thing that you just have to have, put your foot to it. Do you know what I mean by that? Tim kills turkeys at our place. And, you know, you shoot them and they sort of die. But they flop around out there, and you got to go step on their neck. You know why? To finish that thing off. You know, so a lot of people, they play with it a little. You know, they let their flesh have dominion for a while, and then they rise up and put, you know, have their spirit topple over it. And then, you know, that thing gets back up a little bit. You got to put your foot to the neck of that thing for good. Amen. And so I challenge you this week to pay special attention what you do with your mind and your body. And on purpose, focus your attention on the word, focus your attention on what your spirit is saying, and listen, there will come like a machine gun, like a bazooka of thoughts against your pastor, against your church, against your spouse. You know, have you ever had that? Certain seasons, it seems like it's heated up more than others. You know, but almost like the devil sitting right here, just one thought after another, after another, after another. And so what are you doing about that? Most people just kind of lay down, let it wash over them. But what we need to do is let our spirit rise up and say no more. Amen. So this week I challenge you. You know what your thing is. You know, some people even, you know, they like to stay up late. I'm not saying you can't stay up late. But what if you just told your body no? I don't even care if I'm asleep. I'm just going into my bedroom at such and such a time because my body doesn't want to. Whatever it is that your body demands to have every day, if you put your foot to that, it'll help lower the voice of your flesh and enlarge your spirit. Amen? So we're still talking about prospering from the inside out. Amen? And you all know what that thing is for you. Some people just crave different things, but you know what that is for you. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go to step number 2. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And this, I referred to this earlier, but I'm going to give you the scripture for it now. Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. He's keeping us safe tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 5. You know, I told my kids when we come for Sunday school, you know, sometimes kids just complain about stuff just because they do. They just complain. They'll complain about going to school or complain about going to church, complain about going to the grocery store. I don't let my kids complain. To me, that's a bad attitude. If you complain, you get spanked. Because we spank for two things, a bad attitude and disobedience. Either of those things. You know, when your kids answer you by stomping off, we don't allow that. No, no, no. You come back here, you get a spank, and you're going to leave saying, yes, mommy. That's the proper response. In my house, you know, in the morning, a lot of times my kids will be playing, and I'll say, honey, you need to come downstairs now and get breakfast. And usually one more than the other, oh, mom, I don't want to do that right now. This is the middle of my game and all that kind of stuff. And I said, no. Your answer the first time, every time, is yes, mom. And when you don't answer like that, you know what happens. You don't get to respond like that. That's a bad attitude. And what's going to happen later on when they get older in life and the Lord tells them to do something? And they're kicking and screaming and stomp their feet. There's no time for that. Have you ever seen, you know, when you go to certain stores and stuff, and if you're a parent at some time in your life, your kids are going to throw a tantrum in public. They're going to do it. And it's embarrassing. You're like, everybody in this line thinks I'm a bad parent, you know? And usually it's like right in the middle of unloading half of your cart, and there's like four people behind you and two people in front of you, you know, and you can't leave. And so, you know, but people do generally understand they're just a three-year-old, you know. But have you ever seen someone throw a tantrum when they're like 40 and 50 and 30? And listen, that's just straight ugly. That's just bad. It just looks bad. You know, have you seen people, God tells them to do something and they just have a bad attitude. They're going to stomp around for a week. They're going to decide, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. No, see, you know why that happens? Because it wasn't fixed when they're little. So what you don't fix when you're young, what you don't put your foot to when you're young, it's your undoing when you're older. That's why if you'll be strict with your kids now when they're younger, they'll bless you when they're older. Amen. And so, you know, at my house, I have two little boys, and little boys like dirt and mud and bodily noises and all that kind of stuff. And I'm always trying to teach my kids how to be a gentleman. And every single day, honey, gentlemen don't belch at the table. Honey, gentlemen don't pass gas at the table. Honey, you know, all the time. Constant instruction for that. And so, anyways, just now, of Timothy's own accord, before school in the morning, he'll come and open my door. Because I always tell him when we go to the grocery store, you open that door, and you hold that door open for me. I'm your mother. I'm going in before you. You be a gentleman and open this door for me. And so I have told them for years to do that. And just now, of Timothy's own accord, he's finally doing it. And so don't grow weary, Galatians 6, in well-doing, for the appointed season you shall reap. Hallelujah. And so I had to just keep well-doing, well-doing, well-doing. What did that look like? Continually training my kids about how to be a gentleman, how to treat a lady, how to prefer a lady. And finally, after all these years, if they do it once, I don't care. Holy Ghost dance, because it worked, you know. And so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. So don't get to be 30, 40, 50 years old and you get offended about something and throw a temper tantrum. You know, we need to know how to behave as a lady and as a gentleman in the house of God as a Christian. Amen. And so listen, if something really is bothering you, talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Don't get offended. Don't get mad. It will steal from you. So talk to him. It's ugly to see a three-year-old having a tantrum. It's worse to see a 30-year-old having a tantrum. Amen. And you know, you've all seen it happen. Maybe you've done it. Amen. So that, let's see. Husbands, love your wives, verse 25, even as Christ loved the church. Here's what Christ did. He gave himself for the church that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. And so if there are certain things in your heart that you just feel, this shouldn't be here, this is holding me back, this isn't right, that's what you do is you wash it out with the word. Did you ever hear Pastor Nancy's illustration of the dog bowl? And I'm going to use her illustration, but she talked about how at one of their houses, you know, they had several dogs, and their dogs would be outside. And under this light outside, they had the dog bowl. And so when they would come out in the morning, what would happen is there'd be bugs floating around in that water. And she said, I didn't go over there and try and pick out every bug. Because the more you touch it, the more they move away from you. And the more you try and hold it, they like break into little pieces. And so she said, what I did is I just turned on the hose and ran it over that bowl. And what happened was the water just flushed all the bugs out. And it's like that with the word. If you try and nitpick your life, you try and nitpick somebody else's life, it's just going to make a mess. It's not enjoyable. Just pour the word in and all that stuff run out. Amen. So that's what he's talking about, the washing of the water of the word. Amen. Okay, let's go here to the third thing, which is obey. Romans chapter 6. And why don't you bring this up for me in the Amplified? Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Hallelujah. Thank you for your help, Lord. The third thing we're going to do is obey. There's a temptation for every person not to do what God says, right? Because your flesh has a voice. You know, the enemy tries to speak to you and talk you out of what you know you're supposed to do. I love that song we sing, Reverend Tony, about how, you know, whatever he tells us to say, we'll say it. Whatever he tells us to do, we'll do it. Whatever he tells us to go, we'll go. You know, and so I consecrate to the Lord all the time. You know, because I want him to know, Lord, I'm not tied to anything. If you want me to leave my house, if you need me to leave my vehicles, if you need me to leave this area, if you need me to leave this country, whatever you need me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Wherever you need me to do it, Lord, I'll do it. Amen. And so I just consecrate my life to him. Hallelujah. And so the third thing we're going to do is obey. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then? Are we to conclude that shall we sin because we live not under the law, but under God's favor and mercy? Certainly not. Keep going. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him to whom you obey, whether that to be sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right doing, and right standing with God, verse 17. But thank God, though you were once slave to sins, you have now become obedient with all your heart to the standard of the teaching, hallelujah, to what you're instructed and that which you have been committed to, which is the word. And so we see that at one time, we know when we weren't born again, that we were slaves to sin. But now that Jesus has paid the price for us and we've accepted him as our Savior, now, for lack of a better word and what the word says, we're a slave to him. Whatever he tells me to do, I do. And so that's why I said earlier that you need to lower the voice of your flesh by putting your foot to that thing, because then it's easier for you to obey what he says. Because there are going to come instructions that your mind and your flesh do not want to do, but it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. I say that by the Spirit of God, that there are things that the Holy Ghost is going to have us to do, whether it's financial commitments, you know, certain things with relationships, things regarding houses, business deals. There are certain things that the Holy Ghost is going to speak specifically to couples and individuals in here to do, and that we have to be ready to do those things. And so when he tells us to do that, when he leads us on the inside, that we say, yes, Lord. Because it might not seem comfortable. It might not seem practical. It might not even seem like the right time in your mind. But it's the Holy Ghost. And so how many of you know he's always stretching us? Always stretching us. What you think you couldn't do, if God said do, you can. Amen. Everything he's told me to do, I didn't think I could. But because he said it, I knew. He's backing it up. Amen. But of my own ability, I couldn't. And so whatever he says, do. Amen. Be obedient. It's important that we teach our kids to be obedient. You know, remember when Jesus said, Father, not my will, but your will be done? You know, Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. Listen, he was totally innocent. He didn't do anything. And yet he took total blame for us. You know, sometimes my kids will say at school, you know, Mom, such and such happened, and it wasn't even my fault, but I lost 5 or 10 minutes of recess. You know, I didn't get to play on the playground. And I said, it don't matter if it was your fault. It won't hurt you to be blamed and you weren't at fault. It's good for you. Teach you humility. You know, that. Because listen, there are coming times in life for all of us when you'll be blamed for something you didn't do. And if you get blamed for something you didn't do and you had to pay a price, it's okay. It's not going to hurt you. And if you really didn't do it and you had to pay a price, God will make it up to you. He'll make it up to you. And so when he said, well, there were three of us and we were in the hallway and Mrs. McIntyre sat me out. And I said, wait a minute, did she sit you out or she sat all three of you out? He said, well, she sat all three of us out. Yeah, exactly. I know what happened. I know what happened. You're just trying to say you didn't. But I said, even if you didn't, it won't hurt you to sit on the bench. Because there's going to come opportunities when you're older. There's going to come opportunities at your job. There's going to come opportunities at your church where you didn't do it, but you took the blame, and it's a good for you. It's good for you. You know, because there are certain times when, you know, Tim and I, when I'm trying to help Tim at the church, and I do what I think he would like me to do, but turns out my help wouldn't really help, and I didn't do what he wanted me to do. And so, you know, there's a real temptation to be like, I was helping you. I was helping you. But you know what? It's good for me. Okay, babe, what do you want me to do the next time? I'll do it the next time. You know, and Pastor Nancy said one time she had a staff member, and there were a bunch of them kind of working on a project. And she said one of them got blamed for it, and she knew it wasn't that staff member's fault, and they took the blame anyway. And you know what that says about you? That you have character. That you have character. You're not kicking and screaming, always trying to have it your way, always trying to look good, always trying to be in the right. Because if you do that, life will be hard for you. If you have to always be right, if you have to always be the one who had the answer, you know, if you always had to have the last word, all that kind of stuff, it's going to be hard for you. And so I tell the kids, it don't matter if you did it. If you had to sit out a few minutes, you'll be all right. Amen. Because listen, Jesus took a punishment and he didn't do anything. He was the ultimate example of that. That he took a punishment and he didn't do one thing wrong. And so that he's our example of what we ought to do in life. It'll be all right if you take the blame and you didn't really do it. Listen, Pastor Michael told us this for years. The cream always rises to the top. You know what that means? You know, when you have your cup of coffee and you pour your creamer in there, at first you're like, did I really pour some in there? Because it's gone. You don't see it. But then after a second, it all comes back to the top. And so it might look like you're going down, but listen, the cream always rises to the top. If you have character, you live right, you do right, God will help you come to the forefront. He will help you come to the forefront. Amen. Not by your own might, you know, your own might, your own strength, because God brought you up. Amen. Okay, and the last thing I want to share with you is to consecrate. Consecrate. Go with me over here, please, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 39. I'm going to read it here to you out of the King James, and then I'm going to share another translation with you. Matthew chapter 10. Thank you, Lord, for heart surgery. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Matthew 10:39 says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Message Bible. This is not a translation. It's just a paraphrase. So this is not like literal like the Amplified is. It's just a paraphrase. But still, I like how it's worded. It says, if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and you look to him, you'll find both yourself and him. Amen. So our goal in life is to forget about ourselves. Amen. Because listen, if you forget about you, all your problems go away. Right? If you forget about having your own way in the marriage, you got no problem in the marriage. If you forget about having your way with the money, you got no money problems. If you forget about having your way at work, you don't have any issues with the boss. So our job is forget about ourselves. And the more you forget about yourself, the better your life will be. You'll find the life you've always looked for, you've always yearned for, you always longed for. That life of peace, that life of being settled, that life of knowing the direction of God, as you look less to yourself and more to him. Forget about you. You'll have that life. And I remember the days when I longed for that. I remember those days when I was suicidal and I was at my wit's end, and I knew God was my answer, and I kept going to my Catholic church, and I kept going to my Catholic church, and I kept going to the Catholic church because I knew my answer was God, and I didn't understand why I wasn't getting it there. And so once I came into a church that told me what to do, I was so thankful. You could have told me anything and I'd have done it, because I was just so thankful to finally be rescued from a life of torment. Amen. And so if things aren't peaceful, things aren't where they where you want them to be, forget about you. And think more on him. More on what does he want me to do? What does he want me to say? What's his direction for my life? And the more you do that, the more you'll grow on the inside of your spirit, and you'll see the outside things line up with that. Amen. Let me share one other thing with you, Matthew 26. It's important that we continually consecrate and dedicate our life to the Lord. Some prayers are meant to be prayed over and over, and that's one of them. The prayer dedication and consecration is a type of prayer meant to be prayed continually. Lord, just want you to know, I'll do whatever you say. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Amen. And once you say that, I just want you to know, direction will come. Amen. And have you noticed that God always is right outside your comfort zone? You know, if you have your last $100 and, you know, you need it for such and such, groceries or whatnot, listen, he's going to have you sow something to stretch you so that you know he was the one who made it up to me. He was the one who provided for me. I could tell you time after time after time when Tim and I were led to sow things that we didn't seemingly have, or it was our last dollar, and every single time God gave back more. Every single time. And I'm not saying it's overnight, but it does happen. So God will stretch you. Maybe he'll have you go talk to someone that, you know, you didn't necessarily want to talk to. Maybe he'll have you witness to your coworkers. You know, maybe he'll have you talk to someone in your family regarding something. You know, maybe someone in your family needs healing and you're going to lay hands on them, and that might be a stretch for you. You know, there's lots of ways in which the Holy Ghost will stretch us. And just be open to that. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And this is Jesus speaking. And it says, and he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and here's what he prayed. This is Jesus praying. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And so that's what we pray. Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Amen. And so I want you to leave tonight having that thing in your mind, having that thing in your heart that you can do this week to put your foot to your flesh. And pay attention to what activity is going on with your mind, where your attention is going. You boss your attention. Amen. So let's close in prayer tonight. Father, we love you. We praise you. We bless you and honor you. Lord, we glorify your holy name. We thank you that you're good to us. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father God, you're so patient and loving. We thank you, Heavenly Master. We worship you. Lord, tonight I dedicate and consecrate my life to you. Whatever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, Father, I'll do it. Lord Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. So, Father, I thank you. I'll do whatever you say. Whatever you say, Master, I thank you. And Lord, I just thank you. I get to be in the company of those who are also dedicated to you, Father. We just thank you, Lord. As a church body, we dedicate and consecrate whatever you want us to do as a church family. Whatever you want us to do, Father, we'll do it. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute. Hasubrakundia Shadrakanda dosubrakidia sanda vrehiki kibagadroshur kamranda yako dosubrakidi kibranda hasota breshi afro de bosoro kodreki kibada hasara drokoda shenda gosode agada hasoro drobeta hasodoko shondra ketiki kibanda hasodre Adia Sara Drogote, Idisi Kibranda Hasoto, Shokovreti, Kibankotroshonda, Braki Siketi, Sikiprokodoso, Dodabashandra Kota Hasera Cabrandia Dosa, Breki Shitakanda, Oso Brekiri Kipokodrongonda, the Basso Brekadishi Kimbranda. If you've had something in your body, chronic pain, I want you to come up here and I'm going to minister to you. If you've had chronic pain in your body, any part of your body, I want you to come up here and I'm going to minister to you. Hallelujah. God's so faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good, Lord. Hallelujah. And if you're in your seat and you're not up here, I want you to reach your hand toward these people in faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're our healer. We thank you, Father God. We worship you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll wait another minute here for people to have opportunity to come up. If you have chronic pain in your body, come on up here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. As I lay hands on these people, your anointing and power goes in and drives out every bit of pain, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. The next thing is if you have something in your back, you broke part of your back, you had a fracture in your back, you don't know what you did, but you just injured it, maybe you tweaked something, nerve pain, if you want me to minister to you for healing in your back, come forward. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord. If you're in the congregation, just reach your hand toward these people. Extend your faith to them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you so thankful that Jesus is the healer? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Let's just worship God for a minute, if you'll stand with me. Father, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. We thank you that you're the healer. We thank you, Father God, you're the healer. Is there anything else, Lord? Is there anything else, Lord? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Jeff, Pastor Renee, could you come up here? There's something I'm supposed to impart to you. Just worship God. Father, we worship you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness toward us. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your healing power that's working in these people. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. You know, most times when you go to the doctor, if you have a procedure done, or you have some kind of surgery done, you know, normally what they do is they give you a prescription to take home with you. And so if you came up here tonight for healing, here's your prescription. Amen. You take it twice a day, once when you wake up in the morning and once before you go to bed at night. And that's this: I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed and your healing power is working in me. You take that for yourself twice a day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated and we'll take up the offering for tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God. We worship and honor you. We thank you, Lord, as we give. It's given back unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men pour into our bosom. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can come forward. Hallelujah. Don't you feel refreshed? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not trying to boss your life, but I remember a time when I was like, I just wish someone would tell me the right thing to do, and I'd do that, you know? And I tell my kids, you know, sometimes when we come on the way to, I think I left off with this story earlier, but sometimes, you know, the kids will complain or whatever about coming to church or going to Sunday school or something, and I'll say, you don't even know how blessed you are. Because I went to Sunday school my whole life, and I didn't learn a thing. You come to Sunday school and you learn what the Bible says. And they were like, Mom, how did that work? I'm like, I don't know. But we went to Sunday school every single week, and I know they said words, but I never learned anything. Amen. But here we open the Bible and the Lord actually teaches us what to do. And so we're never offended at having been told what to do. I'm grateful someone finally told me what to do, and it works. Hallelujah. Amen. You're dismissed.